This morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 14. As announced in the bulletin this last week, my message to you this morning is entitled, Building a Better Nation. Proverbs chapter 14. And verse 34 for our text, for the message, Building a Better Nation. Before we read it, I want us to pause for just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in these anxious moments, we confess to Thee that we are unworthy to speak to this body of believers. We confess to Thee that we are unworthy to herald the gospel of truth. And we confess to Thee that we stand more in need of Thy help than ever we have stood before. It is our prayer, as we shall look into Thy word and as we shall listen to the Holy Spirit, that Thou wouldst teach us today the things that we need to know, and stir our hearts within us, and may our minds be stirred, and may our lives be pleasing and acceptable before Thee. May the dagger of Thy word pierce sharply and deeply into our innermost being, motivating us to live out the Christian life in all areas of our activity. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake, with thanksgiving, amen. The wise Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 14 at verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." I want you to read that verse with me. Let's all read it together. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Whatever the outcome of our national election on Tuesday, and whatever party moves into the White House on January 20th, 1969, the destiny of America still remains in the hand of God. Hear it with me from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18. "At what instant I will speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." I repeat, whatever the outcome of the election, the destiny of America is in the hand of God. Soon all of the campaign speeches will have ended, and all of the voices of the campaigners will be silent. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ must continue to be preached with power and with demonstration of the Holy Spirit in our effort to build a better nation. For you see, national blessing does not come from the Democrats nor the Republicans, nor the American Party. National blessing comes from God. It depends upon the Almighty. Hear it again with me from Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. For promotion cometh not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. If we try to build a better nation without God, we shall be building in vain. Hear it from the Psalmist, chapter 127 and verse 1. Except the Lord build, they that labor build in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh in vain. I might add here that if you try to build a home or a business or a life without God, your building is in vain. If indeed we try to build a better nation against God, it will come to naught. You remember when Gamaliel stood up, the early apostles were on trial for their life. And Gamaliel said, if this be of man, it shall come to naught. But if it be of God, it shall stand, lest haply we find ourselves fighting against the Lord. If we in America today build with God, we can build a better nation of peace and prosperity. I would say that we must build with God, and we must build upon the divine platform. For Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, even Jesus Christ. The poet said, my hope is built on Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The sands of materialism are sinking. The sands of capitalism are sinking sands. But the sands of the gospel and the word of God shall stand forever. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Our nation was born in a prayer meeting. My God, why don't we come back to it in 1968? For this is our survival, and this is the answer to all of our dilemmas and all of our problems. God's platform is so brief and so simple compared to the platform of the politicians that it might seem altogether inadequate or impractical, but I give it to you again, just 12 short words. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God's platform says nothing of war and social security and unemployment and law and order. It says nothing of segregation or integration, nothing of labor and management. It speaks not concerning inflation or deflation, imports or exports. The platform of the Almighty simply states an all-inclusive and eternal truth that the nation that goes the way of God, which is the way of righteousness, shall be exalted. And the nation which goes the way of Satan, which is the way of unrighteousness, shall be reproached. Some say that the greatest issues today are the Vietnam War, law and order in the streets, the correction of labor and management problems. And I will agree that these are vital issues, but I must remind you that I believe that all of these issues are but manifestations of the real issue that confronts America today. And the real issue that confronts America today is the sin question. That's the issue that faces every nation. I gave it to you a while ago. You read it with me. Righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. God's good book says the greatest issue is sin. Sin is a reproach to any nation. As I stated and have stated before, I believe this morning that the thing that ought to demand our attention, and I'm quoting God, is to see to it that our nation once again becomes a nation of righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. I heard Paul Harvey the other day, and you know, it's just about narrowed down to Paul Harvey is one of the few commentators that you can even quote. Paul Harvey said, what America needs tonight, he said it Friday night on Channel 8, is a spiritual revival. He called it, and I quote, a new birth, one at a time. And Paul Harvey said, unless we enter the straight gate that leads to heaven, we are going to create for ourselves a hell on earth. Beloved, we have already begun to create such an existence. For righteousness indeed exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. In my message this morning of building a better nation, I want you to consider two things with me. Number one, the reproach of sin. And number two, the recipe for righteousness. The reproach of sin. Sin is a reproach to any nation, America included. Look at history. There have been several great world empires: Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, Greece, Rome, to say nothing of the Medes and Persians. But if you will trace with me in the books of history, or go with me, better still, to the ancient lands of the East where these great powers have come from, and across Europe and Asia, you will learn today that Babylon is a no man's land. The Arab will not pitch his tent in ancient Babylon. Oh, they boasted of their king Nebuchadnezzar, and they said he is the king of kings. But God drove him out into the wild to eat straw like an ox, and his fingernails and toenails grew like an eagle. And God sent the Medes and Persians upon that great Babylonian empire. And in that night, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was slain. And Assyria, they boasted of their great Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria, with his 185,000 men, marched against Jerusalem in the year 714 B.C. But they were met on the outskirts of the city, not by a sword of man, but by the sword of God. For the angel of the Lord swept through the Assyrian host that night, and 185,000 men were slain. And God put his hooks in the jaws of Sennacherib and turned him back from Jerusalem and said, not one shot nor one arrow will be fired into the city of Jerusalem. Assyria is a ghost land today. What shall I say of Greece? They boasted of Alexander the Great, who at the age 33 had already conquered the world. But he died, and the kingdom of Greece is only a memory. Oh, but what shall I say about Rome? Rome with all of its splendor, the so-called immortal city, the city of all the Caesars. God has a way of handling the Caesars also. And their bones are rotting away in the tombs of Rome today. And Egypt? Egypt had her back broken in the year 605 at the Battle of Carchemish, when the Babylonians, with the help of the Assyrians and other powers, drove the Pharaoh back into Egypt. And from that day until this, Egypt has been a land of darkness. Oh, but I hear someone say, but Pastor, wait just a moment. You've pointed out to us people who have not Jehovah as their God. But we in America are a Christian nation. These things that you've talked about could never happen to God's people, to a Christian nation. Then I bid you look with me at Jerusalem this morning, the number one city in all of God's economy with mankind. In the year 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians marched against Jerusalem. And they brought the city walls down and the magnificent temple of Solomon at the cost of $3 or $3.5 billion was left in smoldering ruins when Nebuchadnezzar got through. And it was rebuilt and rededicated in 516 B.C. But then look with me in the New Testament era, in the year 70 A.D. when Titus the Roman and the armies of Rome marched against Jerusalem, and again they destroyed the temple. And the only thing that is left of the temple today is a wailing wall where Jews go every Friday and bewail their broken condition. They were God's people. They are God's people. This was God's house, God's temple, God's glory, God's name. And yet he allowed two heathen people to come and take them over. We say it can't happen to America, but wait a moment. God may use the heathenistic, paganistic, communistic governments of 1968 and in the last third of the 20th century to come against us and tear down the walls of Jerusalem, if you please, and the walls of the temple of God. We are not beyond God's hand of judgment. It can happen to us. Beloved, it is already happening. Our nation today reels and rocks like a drunken man. I'm talking to you about something that God said is true. Why did this happen to Jerusalem? S-I-N. And what was that sin? Rejecting God and rejecting Jesus Christ. And beloved, any time any nation disregards the principles of God, that nation will decay. Hear it from Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 12. The nation that shall not serve thee shall perish. Yea, that nation shall utterly be destroyed. That's God's word, not the pastor's. God said, I will destroy the nation that does not serve me. We've looked in the past. Let us look at America. Big, beautiful, bountiful, boastful America. We have plenty of money in our treasuries and plenty of brains in our universities. We have plenty of food in our bins and incalculable natural resources that we've never touched. In fact, we have plenty in every area of our national lives. But the greatest crime rate that we have ever known now exists. And in just 4 or 5 short years, our crime rate has increased 9 times our population rate. And we have never before been faced with such a rebellion among the youth as we're faced with today. I want to quote Paul Harvey again. Paul Harvey said the parents wouldn't do it, so the police had to. Why do we have such a wave of rebellion among youth today? I submit to you that the answer is found in my text. Sin is a reproach to any people, including Americans. The sin of parents who have not brought up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. For the good book says, fathers, bring up your children in the fear and nurture of God. The sin of children who have not obeyed their parents. For the Bible, the same Bible that instructs the parents, instructs the children to, quote, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The sin of the church for not reaching the unreached, lost young people of our generation. Did you know that there are millions of young people under 21 who have no church affiliation in America today? Listen to this. I read just this week that in the University of California, the Berkeley campus, there are over 1,000 single couples living together. And that is the rule almost in every campus in America. And then they want to know why we have venereal diseases and why the wrath and judgment of God is upon this so-called Christian nation today. When we stop to realize that 10% of our adult population are either alcoholics or problem drinkers, and 65% of all our population in one form or another use alcoholic beverages. Did you know that yearly the industrial losses due to alcoholism cost American companies $7 billion? That's four times the profit of General Motors last year. Just industrial losses yearly. There's something like 50,000 people killed on our highways. The latest statistics prove that half of them are 500 people every week are killed on our highways and streets as a result of alcohol. That's 500 a week. I don't think we have that many people to spare that damnable stuff called drink that breaks up hearts and homes and lives and businesses. Oh, but we boast. Look at the revenue that we get off of it. Did you know that for every dollar of revenue, it costs the government $7.36? When a major crime is committed every 10 seconds in our country and one out of four marriages go to the divorce courts, I think Paul Harvey is right. What we need is a spiritual revival. Again, it is written, sin is a reproach to any people. No matter how wealthy or wise or proud or brilliant, sin is still a reproach to any people. We in the United States can build defense weapons that are second to none. But beloved, we cannot fight against the Lord of hosts. In our space program, we can send a man to the moon, but we can't send a man to heaven. The solemn warning flashes across the screen of America's national life today. Sin is a reproach to any people. And Romans 6:23 declares the wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And James writes in his first chapter at verse 15, lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the psalmist says in chapter 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and every nation that forgets God. Sin is a reproach to any people. But let us consider in our second area of thinking the recipe for righteousness. There are some vital questions here to be asked and answered. Is there hope for America? Can America be saved? How can we build a better nation? The answer begins with my text. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And it is written in Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation or the people whose God is the Lord. Righteousness does exalt a nation. And how are we going to get that righteousness? We cannot legislate righteousness. The Congress of the United States cannot pass laws that will guarantee us righteousness. The Supreme Court cannot hand down decisions. This is a ridiculous thought that would bring about righteousness in our nation. Nor can we educate men and women to a plane of righteousness. Nor can we, with weapons of military might, fight ourselves into a state of righteousness. Jesus said it, and I believe it. Without me, you can do nothing. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. As we survey the American scene, we must admit that the only thing that will bring about the building of a better nation is a change in the hearts of men. And the only thing that can bring about the change in the hearts of men is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said it, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How can we have that change? We can have it only by the new birth. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot come. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, Paul said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. How can we build a better nation? We can build a better nation only as the hearts of men and women are made right with God. And the only way that the hearts of men and women can be made right with God is for men and women to come into the right relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I do not ask for our nation today more power and prestige and prosperity. I do not ask for our nation today more brains and bombs and blessings. Feeling the pulse of America, I ask God for an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival. A revival that will turn us from our evil ways toward God. That's what we need in this hour. And beloved, whatever your choice, the Democrats can't bring it. The Republicans can't bring it. The Independents can't bring it. It must come from God. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. America needs a revival. And it will only come through God's people, from God himself. We need dedicated statesmen in Washington, in Austin, and everywhere. We need to be concerned about our economic stability and the balance of our budget and those who are poor and those who are unfortunate. But beloved, more than all, we need Jesus. If we have Jesus in the hearts of men, their heads will be right. And if their heads are right, their decisions will be right. And if their decisions are right, their conduct will be right. And if their conduct is right, their lives will be happy and prosperous. We need Jesus in our homes. We need Jesus in our schools. We need Jesus in our government, in our business, in our industry. We need God, and we need Jesus Christ to build a better nation. The only way we can build a better nation is to obey God's call. And God is calling America to return. Say unto them, says the prophet Ezekiel, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? God is calling America to repent. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God is calling America to revival. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I heal their land. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we ask this morning in these moments of invitation that the Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts even now. For those who are here without Jesus Christ, may they come to trust him. For those who need to surrender their lives and their all to thee upon this altar of prayer, may they come. For those, Heavenly Father, who need a church home, may they come today. And dear God, we pray for all of us that we might find ourselves a part of a prayer meeting all over this great nation of ours today. In Jesus' name we ask it.